Reginald Thomas, Reel 5. What kinds of recreation and entertainment did you have on the Western Front?
Oh,
were there any concert parties, or was during the period you were there, was it entirely your own devices, what you did with your spare time?
I would say there were absolutely none on the Western Front. We were fighting during the 24 hours. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, handing over by you know, eight hours on, that sort of thing, on the Western Front. Well, they were perpetually manned, there were no... But behind the lines, you see, we used to have concert parties and so on, because... they relieved the troops from time to time, you know, and had relays and so on.
Would they be professional concert parties or got up locally by
division?
Oh, no,
they used to have, both. Mm. Yes, they used to get professionals used to, they were very good in coming down and helping. Yes. Oh, yes, and we had, I don't want to exaggerate. We had Ruth King. I remember him coming down and coming past one of the tents, and he said, "Oh, I'd like to go and have lunch." And he took off his. It was threatening summer weather, and he took off his coat and rolled up his sleeves and took a seat.
King George the Fifth.
Yeah. It would have been George the Fifth, wouldn't it? Yes. Mm. I wasn't a member of the mess, but I remember looking in and seeing him. Of that mess, I was a member of another one.
How much information about the situation at home? At home was reaching you on the Western Front. Did you hear anything
about what was going on?
Yes, at home, such as in food shortages or rationing.
Oh, I see, about home. Mm. Oh, that's a good question, because I think I would say if... now, I'm not quite sure of this, but thinking of what I was like, I don't think we'd talk about it if there was anything, you know. I think we were all keyed up, and I would say, well, okay, we're not going to depress these people by saying that I'm afraid his father and mother are in a pretty bad way, really hungry, and so on. I think that would have been the wrong spirit. I think we were on that level instead of down there. Mm-hmm.
And when you... what were your impressions of the situation at home when you came back to this country, from the Western Front?
God. Oh, absolutely. You never saw miserable people and say, are we going to lose this war or that sort of thing? Everybody was certainly going to win. I mean, that's my impression. What's yours, Cathy? Nobody was depressed, thinking that after all this we're going to really lose the war. The Germans are too well trained and so on.
I remember while I was at Ascot, as I said to you in the beginning, this war will be over soon. Do you remember I said there was very much that? I think there came a time when one felt that there may be a question of holding on tight and putting up with it. I think there was a period of that.
Mm.
1418. We got married towards the end of that. So it was quite wonderful.
Yes, in April.
This is quite a little thing. David was asking that I think... it was at the time of Zeppelin.
Yeah.
And you'd heard about them. And there used to be warnings of anything was going on. Well, I can't tell you what was happening, but it must have been getting towards the end of the war. And we suddenly heard a warning. And we were in a flat on this floor, and above us there was a little child who began to cry. And by contrast, it was a question of, they put the gramophone on, and it was Policeman's Holiday, which was such a contrast. And that was one of the little incidents that I remember, that the different things that can happen, distress and anxiety and laughing. And the other little bit that I can remember was, did I tell you I did post work during the war? And sometimes we would have to go up to the old, little old post office in Iceland. And there had been evidently a certain amount of bombing droppings in London from Euston area. The mail didn't come in, and we would have to sit around and wait. And that was quite a vivid thing. We weren't anxious. We always felt there were, the Zeppelins were very far away, weren't they? They were small. As we saw them, they didn't come moving around the country like bombs did, bombers. And just, I was grateful to have had that life, and among the farmer people. I think I did say a little bit to you, didn't I, walking up the line? But these were all little snippets of the war that touched one a little bit and were comforting if we felt we were. The hearings had all been over, but the trains were late coming back.
Yeah.
I think that's pretty well all that I can remember at that time. Until we came up the war and I heard this Policeman's Holiday. That was when I was back in London. And then the wonderful declaration of peace. It was a Monday morning and the laundry was being delivered. And suddenly we heard the hooters on the Thames down by Greenwich. Everything. There was a tremendous sense of relaxation and fulfillment. Going up to London and being ready to fraternize with everybody was happy.
Yeah. I want to tell you, I tell Mr. Bryce our adventure with the ration man after we got married.
What was that?
Well, Admiral Hunter and General Bland coming to the door with a parcel.
Yes, they came just after we were married, and I didn't know much about London, but I know he got rations from the Ordnance Committee.
No, isn't it rations from the Ordnance Committee?
Well, it was the Ordnance Committee people who delivered it and saw that we got it. Because I know that
The Ordnance Committee didn't keep a butcher shop.
No, they didn't. But it was because you were working there.
Yes, that's quite true.
This used to be delivered. And I was telling him, Rex was going out one morning, he said, don't forget, the ration man will be here. And so I was waiting for him to come, and I heard the bell ring, and to my horror, I opened the door, our rather dark little entrance to our very nice flat. And there were two. There was
a general and an admiral.
Yes, Brigadier General.
Admiral Bland. And General Bland.
Bland.
And, Hunter, wasn't it?
No, not Hunter.
No.
He married that very rather nice American girl. Do you remember we went?
Yes.
But I saw these and they looked all like all bits of gold shining through the darkness, you know. I felt terribly impressed. And they were really bringing us round for the person, which was a lovely sort of salver with all their signatures on it, which David has now. And I said, oh, thank you, they handed. They said, we want to hand this in. And I remember saying, oh, thank you so much, and these is rations. That really did happen. And it was just one of the unexpected experiences altogether.
You thought we were the ration men.
Yes, when we met long afterwards, that's quite true. I knew his sister, Mrs. Bland. Miss Bland, she'd been, she was Mrs. Desborough. Yes, that's quite true. I don't think I told it very well, but it's very vivid to me.
Do you think that your experiences of the war changed you?
I don't think so. Changed me. Yes, they have. I was trying to be shy and diffident, I would say. And, going on board these battleships and to report why they weren't sunk and that sort of thing. And the jobs one was given and that sort of thing. I think undoubtedly they did. They gave me self-confidence. Oh, undoubtedly. Yes. And going up and down the line, you know, and to report, because I didn't realize at the time that these were pretty big jobs they gave you, you know, going up and saying, recommending that they should be, people should be given more this, that, or the other, or their defenses are pretty not quite equal to the others, or anything, you know, but your job is to report, see what you see, what are your impressions. And I wrote very faithful reports, as far as I remember.
But you never would have been sort of depressed or
overcome. Oh, I never reported on any individual. Mm. Never did that, and say so-and-so doesn't seem to be getting on very well. Well, never touched that.
It would be on defence works and equipment.
That's right, yes. Undoubtedly, yes, we're the short of this and that. Oh, yes, and for instance, I remember when tanks came out, and that sort of thing.
Oh, yes.
Well, I wasn't the only person, but reporting on the defence of the armour, that sort of thing, they were not... good enough. I remember they used to, the machine gun bullets used to, you know, rattle round and bounce one after the other before they were expended, before they lost their velocity. Mm-hmm. And anything that affected the troops in that way.
That was inside the tank after it
inside
penetrated.
Inside the tank, yes. If the enemy bullet, you know. And they're sort of... machine guns that you just like we did. We had this sort of maximum type of gun, much bigger than the ordinary small machine gun, and they had the same. And the armor-piercing bullets would not be able to get through, but they would go round and carry it and so on. And see what can be done to stop this, you know, but it goes in, it's caught or, you know, prevented from doing it. But those sort of general things, I wouldn't like to particularise.
Did you feel that the tanks were particularly effective, the very first ones?
Yes, rather. Oh, felt it was a war, you know, in reality, yes. Oh, yes, you were.
Did you try out any particular new inventions? Did you experiment with them on the Western Front or report on their behaviour or effectiveness?
I didn't use any. That wouldn't have been my job at all. But I think as far as new inventions, what would they have been? The tank, of course, was the big thing. And the secret was kept so remarkably well. Oh, yes.
You mentioned a little earlier about the battleships. You went on board Warspite,
yes,
to find out why she had survived, whereas yes, the ships such as Queen Mary had yes, blown up. What yeah, was the result of your inspection? What did you decide had accounted for this?
Only to, I would say, there was nothing wrong with the design of the ships. The fault there, I think I did explain, was that the drill was too good. They didn't have time to... the fire was so rapid that they didn't shut the shell-proof doors.
Mm-hmm.
They were the blast-proof doors. And so, you know, there were two. There's the upper deck. There was the final one to the guns. Then there was the middle deck where they picked up the cartridges.